This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This episode is brought to you by Media Angels. Media Angels is the creator of quality homeschool products. You can find more about Media Angels at mediaangels.com. And also, homeschooling with Proverbs. Are you interested in homeschooling using a wonderful Bible study that you can do with the entire family? Well, check out homeschoolingwithproverbs.com for more information. Well, today I am so excited to talk to you about some fun summer activities you can do with the kids at home. And as usual, I have broken them down into some academic subjects. I'm sorry, you just cannot take the teacher out of the homeschool mom. Everything I look at doing with a purpose. So sometimes I get a little bit over enthusiastic or exuberant about these kinds of things. So bear with me. But truthfully, these activities are timeless and can be used whenever you have a block of days that you want to fill with some things that your kids can do that would be fun, and also projects that lend themselves to learning. Before I get started with my list, and I do have a printable list, it is on episode 86 at Vintage Homeschool Moms. You can listen to Vintage Homeschool Moms on the website at Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, also at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Scroll down and you'll find episode 86, and there you'll find a printable that has activities for summertime or anytime. And truthfully, one of the things I want to talk to you about is some of the like one or two things that you really need to do before you jump into setting up some great fun activities for your kids. And the first is to have some goals in mind. Goal setting is not my favorite thing to do, and I'm sure you've heard me talk about that. But when I am planning for my kids to have some, very concentrated studies, I really want to have some goals in mind. These can be loosely jotted down, or you can actually put them in some sort of a checklist, and as you hit each of these goals, whether they are some character qualities you want to emphasize with your children, or perhaps some things as basic as organizational skills, which we all could use more of, then these are things that you can chart in some way. So if you have a goal, like whether it is to help do some remediation during the summer, or whether it is just to have some pure fun with your children, either one or both at different times is fine. The second thing I'd like to talk about is scheduling. Just recently, we took out our summer months calendar and put everything on the calendar that we knew was coming up. Both of my children, and this is a first for us, are playing on a travel league. So Anne's playing softball, Mike's playing baseball, and they have back-to-back games, and unfortunately, some are not even in the same town. So we had to really schedule our weekends and some of the days surrounding those so that we knew when we would have a block of time to do some of the things that we wanted to accomplish this summer. So if you do that, schedule in any vacation time or just days off that you are planning something, such as like Vacation Bible School, if you're participating with that, or any of the other events that might happen. And then you can look at your calendar and see where there's going to be some gaps of time. You know, I'm all about giving the kids free time. In fact, I've talked about that before on my podcast, that I make a point each day of giving my kids some downtime, just time to be able to think and do some activities that they're interested in. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. You don't have to have their summer all mapped out. But at times, after a few weeks of their own, you know, activities, the kids start getting, you know, what I would term rambunctious, or you could call them, you know, mischievous, or whatever other word you want to give it. You're not allowed to use the word BAD. And so when that starts to happen, you might want to look at, you know, what's going on in your household. And if the kids are getting bored, that's also another word that's not allowed in my home. In fact, if the kids say they're bored, the translation is, "Mom, give me some more work." So if my kids don't use the word bored around here. But if they, you know, are getting a little bit antsy, you may want to look at this list and see if any of these things are appealing to you. And if they're not, hey, hopefully they'll jumpstart some ideas of your own. Okay, well, let's look at these things. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to start with some academic topics. And the first is art. You know, some people don't think of art as academics, but they absolutely are. And so you can do a lot of different things with art, whether it is exploring some different mediums. In other words, if you have never used oils or pastels or acrylic colors, a lot of people tend to use tempera paint, which is water-based, as well as watercolors. And so maybe you haven't allowed your children to explore some of these other mediums. I would try with a very inexpensive kit, because some of these paints can be expensive, and you might be surprised, and you could find something at a garage sale. Or ask around. You know, I know I have a lot of paint around here because I like to paint. And so from time to time, I'll pull out some different paints for the kids to try. And that might be something fun. You know, having things like, and I call this a two for one. One is taking care of some broken crayons, and the other is doing a craft activity, and the third is it turns into an art activity. So you can take your broken crayons, peel off the outer wrapper, and you can melt them in the oven in muffin tins. Make sure that they are lined or well greased. And so those turn into these little cakes of melted color, and then the kids love to draw with those because they're like rainbow colors. And so that's a fun activity to do, and it takes care of all those broken crayons that we tend to throw them away. So, you know, we have a big bin that we keep a lot of broken crayons in. So from time to time, we do this. Make sure it's a well-ventilated area because they do tend to stink. And I know people have done them in the microwave as well. I've never used the microwave, so maybe check online for some ideas about that. You could have a creation camp at home. I've put one together. In fact, I have the outline and instructions on how to host your own creation camp at home. A lot of those activities are really fun, like making a volcano and doing a lot of different art projects. And so you can look at mediaangels.com, look at download ebooks and downloads, and you'll find information about that there. And that is a printable as well. How about puzzles? The kids love to put puzzles together, don't they? Well, they can make their own, whether it's a picture they drew or it is a coloring book page. And sometimes they color so much and you don't know what to do with them. And so what you can actually do is you can tape some of the pages together and then make one big puzzle, or you can use individual pages and you just flip it to the back and you can use a pattern. In fact, there's lots of patterns online, puzzle patterns. When they're little, I would say keep it simple. And, you know, just make some just straight lines and, you know, let them know what you're doing first, especially if it's a beautiful art project that they don't want to cut up, or you could draw something for them. The next is a craft idea that I absolutely love. And I've done this different times of the year for different occasions. And you just take old jelly jars or any kind of glass jar and you use ripped up pieces of tissue paper. How many of you are guilty of folding that tissue paper that comes in gifts or keeping them? So if you're like me and you do that, some of them just get old and ripped, and you can use that for the kids' art projects, or take some new tissue paper and use it, and you just cut it in different shapes. And then what you can do is take a paintbrush, some white glue, and just paint the different shapes of tissue paper as a collage on a jelly jar until it's all covered with tissue paper, and then give it a coat of glue. You can even use some sort of a shellac, or you have to be really careful. They have the stuff that you can spray on it to preserve it, but the glue is just fine. And then you can put some sand in the bottom of these jars once they dry, and put a little tea candle, and it makes a really fun table decoration. You can do this for the 4th of July or any kind of holiday activities. And so, you know, lots of fun things you can do. There. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I will give you some more ideas that you can do for activities for summertime fun. We'll be right back. Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today I'm talking about some fun activities for summertime. You can find this episode, episode 86, on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And you can hear lots of other wonderful podcasts, such as Dollars and Cents with Carol Topp. And you can hear that as well on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Just look for that Dollars and Cents icon. And I'm bringing that up because my first topic is business and entrepreneur. And Carol Topp has a ton of topics on creating a business, as well as some, you know, bookkeeping and tax advice that deals with that as well. You know, it can be as basic as selling lemonade, having a lemonade stand. Just the other day, I saw a very expensive SUV parked on the side in my subdivision with the kids selling limes out of the back, three for a dollar. I don't know what limes cost at the grocery store, but obviously they're a lot more than that. They're probably a dollar a piece, which gave these kids the incentive when they had all these limes to sell them. And it's amazing how much the kids can learn. This could actually be a math activity as well. The business and entrepreneur kind of overlaps with the math activities. But so much goes into this, you know, thinking up a business idea, a name for your business, creating a sign, which could be part of your arts project, you know, keeping track of money, counting money, deciding how to make a profit, just a lot of wonderful things. And again, Carol Topp has some wonderful podcasts on creating a business. Another is to learn how to put up a website. WordPress is a very easy thing to use once you know how to use it. Everything's easy, right? Once you know how to use it. And at one point, I could not stand WordPress at all, and now I've gotten to like it, and I'm able to use it very quickly. So the kids can learn how to put up their own website. They can brainstorm some ideas. This could be part of their entrepreneurial, business idea, and perhaps they want to start blogging or sell something online. Again, a really fun idea for the kids. They can learn HTML code. It isn't as difficult as it appears on the surface. So that could be something that your children might have some fun doing. Another is to fix or repair and then sell things. I had a son who was very, very handy. He fixed my Cuisinaire mixer, or my KitchenAid, I can't remember which one now, for an $8 part that we ordered online. And I even had it overnighted for the tune of $10. So for $18, my son fixed this expensive mixer that I used all the time. And, you know, I started encouraging him. And I remember one time somebody gave him a weed eater that was a very high-end weed eater and said, "Can you fix this?" And he was able to. He quickly learned that the cheaper weed eaters are not worth fixing because they don't stay fixed, but the more expensive ones are very worth fixing. So maybe your son or daughter is going to be, really talented in that area, and they can, you know, find things that need repair and maybe resell them. Another entrepreneurial skill, my son had a little business where he had a tool repair business that just started very innocently over the fact that he was really good at fixing things. Write a book and then sell it online. You can do that on CreateSpace on Amazon. There's a place just for ebooks. CreateSpace will actually create a printed book, but there is a place on Amazon that you can go and set up an ebook, and that would be a fun thing for your kids to actually write a book and sell it. Host a play and collect food cans for the needy and then donate it to a soup kitchen or do some other kind of volunteer work. You could use this as a dual, credit kind of a thing for high school here in Florida anyway. The kids need, you know, credits for volunteering. And so, you know, the kids could do some sort of projects that would be on a volunteer basis and, get some needed points for that. Under healthy and health and healthy eating, there are some ideas I have as well. And one of them is something that's a must do for Florida anyway, and that is water safety. Understanding, what it's like to be around a lake or the beach or a pool or a pond. And that is always good. You know, what are some things you should be aware of, and what happens if somebody needs help? You know, you don't jump in after them. You know, you throw them a life vest and explain to the kids why. Teach about repellents. You know, it's bug season here, and so there's all kinds of different things that you can use as a bug repellent. A lot of the essential oils are naturally repellent to bugs, and you can look at that. I recommend the doTERRA essential oils, and you know, you can look into something like that, and maybe look at what are some of the safety features of using oils as opposed to a spray you might buy in the store, and have the kids, you know, compare and contrast those kinds of things. Take time to learn new things like cooking. Cooking is always fun, and doing some baking, or you know, having the kids make a meal, or even having them decide on meals for a week. Now, my kids loved doing that because that also meant they got to choose what we ate. And so just let your husband know that this is happening because, or you know, your wife if you're the stay-at-home dad, because there might be some, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs and mac and cheese that's going to be served. So you know, just again, a really fun thing for the kids to do, and it's a fun summer project. And a lot of times we mean well and we want to incorporate this in school, but let's face it, we get so busy that we don't have time to incorporate some of these things. So that's what makes these kinds of ideas so much fun, because the kids can do this, you know, on a summertime or a time when you have some extra, you know, days to do these types of activities that don't have to be rushed. Another is sun cooking. You can make s'mores using the sun to melt chocolate. My kids' favorite thing to do was to take the magnifying glass outside and try to melt chocolate and burn leaves or whatever else they could get their hands on with the magnifying glass. Don't recommend it, but it is a fun supervised activity, and then pick up all the magnifying glasses and put them away is my recommendation. Make a sun oven. I think that's something I have under science. And then have the kids do some things with fruit, like fruit kebabs or making kebabs when they grill meat, such as chicken. One of the things I found when kids cook, a lot of times they'll eat things that they wouldn't touch if you were cooking. So if you make it fun for the kids, a lot of times they'll try some things that they haven't before. All right, let's look at math. Summer is a great time for collections, bug collections, butterfly collections, pressed flower collections. I remember opening an old book that I wanted my children to read, and there were some pressed flowers in between the pages. So, you know, this is something that is fun to do. And again, you can use some of the affixing spray outside well ventilated, or even use some glue that dries clear, and the kids can start some collections. You know, see how high you can count, counting contests. My kids are very, very competitive. Right now they're into how many fish can they catch from the pond, and then they release them back into the wild. But they have contests about everything. And so when kids are little, you know, sometimes it's difficult to get them to stop counting, especially once they learn to count to 100 and they want you to sit there while they're counting. But they could, you know, do some things like skip counting or counting rope or that kind of thing. Games such as card games, a lot of those are very conducive to math activities. And then the car activities were always my favorite. You know, how many blank can you count? You know, how many red trucks can you count from the point when you leave home until you get to your destination? So if you're going to the grocery store, there you can count red trucks, and home you can count green trucks, and then you can have the kids guess which you'll see more of, red or green, on the road. And so, you know, for us it was always the red trucks won. Mental math, give each other problems to do in your head without a pencil or paper. And at first, don't keep score because it's a little bit frustrating to the kids, especially if you're giving them some math problems like 2 plus 3 plus 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9. You know, it's going to be very frustrating. But when they're little, you can say something like, you know, 2 plus 2 plus 2 or 1 plus 1 plus 1 and start by making it easy, or 352 plus 0. You know, make it easy for them, make them think, but then after a while, you'll be surprised at how much mental math they can do. Again, a great car activity. And then as you get better at it, you can make it a game and you can keep score. How about plays or drama? I had kids who love drama and others not so much. The kids can dress up, use their imagination, and have fun with that. Or they can actually get as intricate as creating their own plays, acting them out, using backdrops, you know, using this to ask people to pay to see their event, whether it's with a, you know, a donated can that you can give to charity or something like that. Another fun type of activity is characterization. You can imitate your favorite storybook character and take turns guessing who it is. That's always a fun thing. Practice public speaking. Do impromptu speeches using real-life situations. Or practice the correct responses. A very good thing to do. For example, what if you get the wrong food served to you at a restaurant? What do you say? What if, you know, your brother goes in your room and plays with your Legos without asking you and leaves a mess on the floor? What should you do? Those kinds of things. And there are actually card games that have those kinds of activities already spelled out. I never found any that really fit our family. So as these incidences and events happen in your family, you can jot them down. Or I guarantee you, if you take about 15 minutes and start thinking of some appropriate responses that you would like your children to give to certain things, you'll probably have a list of about 30 before long. So fun thing. Answering the phone, not so much anymore with cell phones, because I don't know about you, but my kids know not to answer my phone and let it go to voicemail. But when home phones were really big, that was something that we really went over with our children and the proper way to answer the phone. Create a short commercial. You know, we podcast here and you hear lots of commercials, and a lot of the commercials were created by those of us that podcast, or we've hired an announcer to do a commercial, and that can be very, very pricey when we hire that out. So have your kids learn some skills that could actually translate into something they can monetize in the future. So either a 30-second or a 60-second commercial that they can actually record using a digital device and play it back. And then also podcasts. What would the topic be? What would you say? What is something that you could do on a weekly, monthly basis? So, you know, what would you do? So, again, a fun thing that would have to do with, you know, public speaking and acting and things like that. All right, geography. Scavenger hunts. I love the idea of geocaching. We haven't really done it, you know, quote unquote, professionally, getting out there and doing it. Look it up. It's geocaching. We did a little bit of it in our yard. Scavenger hunts we have all the time. A lot of times we have scavenger hunts at birthday parties where I give them one clue, and then each clue leads to another location. Some of them are red herrings where they would find the next clue, but it doesn't really give them a lot of information. So, you know, you could do it to, you know, as many different locations as you want within your property or at a park. That's always fun. This is another fun one, and my kids love this activity, and that's create a map using your memory. For little ones, start small. You know, they can start with the map of their room. They can start with the map of their yard, a map of the neighborhood. How do you get to church? Could you draw in all of the roads? How about the grocery store map? You know, super fun to do, and like I said, the kids love doing that. See if you can draw the U.S. or world map. That's something that's an older skill, but again, you know, have you ever heard somebody say, well, I don't know where Spain is? You're like, it's in Europe. But I'm directionally impaired when it comes to like going to the mall and remembering where I am. So that's has always been a fun activity for me to be able to do it with my children. All right. Buried treasure. You can hide a treasure, typically something small, and give the kids some verbal instructions on how to find it. You can use like north, south, east, west, right, left, things like that to help them. How about reading? Another great category. I have a couple of podcasts, and there's some links under episode 86 that you can find on, you know, giving you some ideas and lists for reading for the summer or again or anytime. You could sign up for some rewards program. Pizza Hut has a library rewards program. I just heard on the news not that long ago, reading with the Rays or any other baseball team, a reading program. The kids can win all kinds of things with that. So sign up for those. At-home contest. How many books can you read in a week, in a month? You know, if you have readers, it's always a fun thing to give them some sort of incentive. How about those reluctant readers? How about creating a private place where you can go read a favorite book? You know, you can put a blanket down, some fun pillows, a good reading lamp, and give the kids a place to go to read. Or set up a reading library and begin collecting books. Again, you know, something that is a fun activity to do anytime. But maybe you have a favorite collection of books and you've just borrowed them from the library, and this could be time to encourage the kids to earn money and then put that toward their library collection. All right, and science. I had to withhold myself here and not list so many things because this was the one category I could think of a ton of things to do. But I'm just going to give you a few. One of them is the amusement parks. You can do so much physics with amusement parks. And there's a lot of stuff you can find online about that. So if you are going to an amusement park this year, that's something that you can watch some videos on, and you can explain to your kids how physics works very basically, and really complex by using amusement parks. Bugs, again, summertime is a time of bugs and birds and things like that. So you can study those kinds of creatures that maybe are not always out all time, all year long. Collections, bug collections, butterfly, pressed flowers. You know, we talked about this a little bit earlier under math. Creating a solar oven, I mentioned that as well. Under cooking, that's a really fun activity. And it can be really basic, just taking a box and putting aluminum foil in it, and then putting a thermometer in the bottom of the box and measuring the temperature and just keeping track of when it's the hottest of the day. And then when it, you know, you do that and you map that out, then later you can put some type of food, keep it very simple to begin with. But people have cooked hot dogs and grilled cheese sandwiches and all kinds of things out in the sun. Creating a volcano, another fun science activity project, it with baking soda and vinegar, always a fun thing. Give the kids baggies, a little Dixie cups filled with baking soda and some vinegar, and they will have a blast. Another thing you can do is take vinegar and put them in empty little plastic water bottles and put the baking soda. You need a funnel to stick them in the balloon, but then you put some vinegar in the bottle, you know, maybe a half an inch, put some baking soda in the balloon. Not to be confused with baking powder, okay, baking soda. And then you just put the balloon on the bottle, tilt the contents up, and the balloon will inflate. Again, those are just super fun activities that will make a huge mess, and make sure you do them outside. And then the last I'm going to leave you with are prisms or the water hose to make rainbows. Super fun activity, and then you can take the coloring pencils or crayons or whatever and then draw your rainbow and teach the kids about light and how a prism breaks up the ray of light into the many beautiful colors that we see. Well, this is just a quick group of ideas for you for this summer or anytime. You can get the printable on episode 86 at Vintage Homeschool Moms. Hey, thanks so much for listening. If you like this podcast, please go to iTunes and give us a rating, and as well as telling your friends. There's a lot of social media buttons on Vintage Homeschool Moms. With the click of a button, you can recommend this audio to a friend on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere that you frequent. Again, thank you so much for listening. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I hope to see you soon. Drop me a line at felice@mediaangels.com and tell me what kind of podcast you'd like to hear. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon, and have a wonderful time with activities, creating memories with your kids. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at mediaangels.com and thevintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.